And I like that song because I love Santana. I love his guitar riffs. I love that Latin, you know, beat that he does. And you know, he's a great, one of the great guitar players of all time. And but they were playing it like every single hour. They were playing it absolutely every single hour, and I was like, turn it off!
This is the Quality News Network. Classes have been canceled this week at Virginia Tech, the scene of Monday's campus massacre. Investigators continue to look for a motive behind the murders. 33 students and teachers were killed, 29 were wounded. Both President Bush and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid are warning Americans not to use the Virginia Tech massacre as an excuse for stricter gun control measures. Criticism in the U.S. and overseas about easy access to guns is building. Virginia has some of the least restrictive gun control laws in the nation. In Nagasaki, the city's 61-year-old mayor died early this morning after being gunned down in front of his campaign offices yesterday. Police have arrested the shooter, thought to be connected to Japan's largest crime syndicate. Today, bomb attacks in Baghdad killed at least 20 and wounded another 19. Elsewhere in Iraq, scattered sectarian violence has killed 4 and wounded 17. The chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff says Iranian-made weaponry has been discovered in the Taliban strongholds of southern Afghanistan. Marine General Peter Pace says the arms seizures suggest Iran is more involved in the Afghani insurgency than previously suspected. Today in Seoul, a South Korean intelligence official reported a flurry of activity surrounding North Korea's main nuclear reactor. Analysts speculate the movement may mean Pyongyang is finally making good on its promise to dismantle its nuclear weaponry program. Near Cairo this morning, a truck transporting school children to class was hit head-on by another vehicle. At least 16 students were killed, 8 others injured, some critically. Cleanup has begun along the storm-battered East Coast. Hundreds of thousands remain without power today. 17 deaths are being blamed on the nor'easter. Damages are in the millions. In Oregon, the state house has approved bills providing equal rights for same-sex couples and protection against discrimination for homosexuals. The Senate is expected to also approve the measures and the governor to sign them. New Jersey troopers have revealed Governor John Corzine's SUV was speeding 90 miles an hour when it hit a guardrail on the Garden State Parkway Thursday. Corzine remains hospitalized in critical but stable condition. He was not wearing a seatbelt. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business are next.
Attention business owners. Getting new customers is now just one click away. Sounds too good to be true, right? Well, you got us. It's actually two clicks away with the new MyLocalYP.com. MyLocalYP.com is more than an online yellow pages. It's an interactive gateway that connects customers with your business, all in just two clicks. Why continue to pay thousands of dollars on an antique advertising medium, especially one that ends up going into the recycling bin? Make the smart upgrade at only a fraction of the cost. Try for yourself. MyLocalYP.com. MyLocalYP.com will put your business in the radar of thousands of potential customers. They'll be able to make reservations online, even print out the map with directions, all in just two clicks. Call 1-800-505-1883 today to find out more about this great new service. The sooner you do, the faster your cash register will start to ring. The number again is 1-800-505-1883. MyLocalYP.com.
A study just released says using ethanol instead of gasoline raises ozone levels and could cause increased air pollution. Research says areas most affected would be in New England and Southern California. China's main newspaper says the country is expected to sign $12 billion worth of import deals when Chinese officials visit the U.S. next month. Likely to be involved are manufacturing and electronic goods. Today, EU antitrust regulators announced fines totaling $370 million against Dutch beer companies such as Heineken and Grolsch. The companies were charged with price fixing and running an illegal cartel. For the first time in 15 years, the British pound has risen higher than the $2 mark. Economists say the UK is experiencing an unexpected surge in inflation, leading to speculation interest rates will rise. Russia and its former satellite states were the most dangerous places in which to fly last year. That's according to the International Air Transport Association. Russian airlines had 13 times more plane crashes than the global average. Light sweet crude is trading at $63.90 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange. Gold is trading at $694.20 an ounce. You can find more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Okay, everybody, wake the hell up. Time once more for the Cup of Joe Radio Show. I'm your host, Joe Vecchio. How are you today? I try to say that faster and faster every day. How are you going, everybody, today? It's another wonderful day here in sunny Chicago, and I'm glad to be here. And I'm glad not to be in where those storms are. Man, oh, man, there was 17 dead, they said, from a big, nasty old nor'easter. A nor'easter. I was to hear that from the old New Hampshire salesman or whatever, or sailors or whatever. But man, my sympathies go out to those people, and of course, my sympathies go out to families of those who died at Virginia Tech. What the hell is up with that? And they're still talking about that, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more today. First of all, I had to go out and I had to cancel my Russian flight. I was gonna fly to Moscow just for the hell of it, and I decided against it after hearing that 13 times more likely. Well, I guess Rain Man won't be flying on a Russian airline lately. I'm only going to fly Qantas. Qantas is the only one that's never lost a flight. Qantas. Oh, how you doing today? So much going on, and I'm up a little later than usual. You know, I get into these sleep cycles where I was sleeping very well for a while, and then you know now I'm since I've been working. Regularly, when I work till around 11 o'clock or so. Actually, I leave around the quarter till, so I can catch the bus properly on time. And I don't get home until, like, you know, 12 o'clock, close to that. And I have to be up at 8 o'clock here, my time, to do the show. So, and I can't get to sleep right away. Have you ever tried to go to sleep as soon as you get off of work? Have you ever tried that? You can't really do it, can you? Some people can. I really envy the people who can just go out there and go to sleep. And just sleep. Me, I gotta lie there and toss and turn. It takes me a while. I gotta be really, really tired before I get to the point where I can just lay down and go right to sleep. But that's me. I've always been kind of as long as I can remember, I've always been kind of a late night person. I always hated getting up in the mornings. I don't like morning people! But because I do a morning radio show, I am forced to be a morning person. Actually, even so, it's still not that early in the morning. I mean, you know, getting up at 8 o'clock is not so bad. I mean, I've had jobs where I had to get up at 4:30 in the morning, and I did it. Once you get used to a routine, you get used to a routine. But I really don't like it very much. I don't like getting up before the sun is up. I don't like getting up before noon, for Christ's sake, okay? Okay? Anyway, it's Wednesday. It's hump day. Although that really doesn't mean as much as it used to, because a lot of people work on weekends now, and the usual Monday through Friday shtick for working people doesn't work anymore. At least they don't do that. You know, people work. I work Sundays when there's work, and my days off are Mondays and Saturdays. And I would work Saturday, except that when we work on the weekend where I work, and maybe some of you guys have this problem too. I work my normal shift during the week is 3 to 11, like I said. But if I work on a Saturday or Sunday, I have to do a day shift, which means I do have to get up at about 5 o'clock in the morning in order to get to work. Well, supposedly it's 7 o'clock, but they're a little bit more understanding about us second shift guys. So they, you know, if we were a little late, they don't really care. But still, we got to get up early in the morning. to do that, and it kind of just throws my whole system off. I mean, I don't mind getting up early if that's what I'm doing regularly, but if I sleep in, all the time, and then I have to get up at early in the morning, that just messes me up, and I don't think that's any good for your system. And of course, this being a workplace, a corporate type place, they're not really interested in changing how they do things, are they? Not at all. And I am running into that typical thing where they're training me on this new project that I've been doing the last few days. It's actually pretty. It's a little slow and a little mind numbing, but it's not too bad. But it's fairly complicated and high focus. And I'm thinking, you know, I lost my train of thought again. Dagnabbit, this is what happens to me. But I said, you know, if I'm doing more work. If I'm doing more skilled work, I should be getting more money. There should be, like, instant raise. All right, Joe, you're getting $10 an hour now instead of $9.63. But you mention that, and they just kind of laugh. And we have a new supervisor over on the second shift, and she likes to play her music very loudly. And I'm not the type of person who likes to listen to music. When I'm working, I like to concentrate on what I'm doing. And it's not a question of whether I like or dislike the music, and I'll be straight out and say that I do not like the music that they're playing. I don't like top 40 radio. I don't like hip-hop. I don't like rap. I don't care for any of it. I don't like loud, noisy DJs. I can barely stand to listen to myself, for crying out loud. And yet I have to listen to this, because if I say anything about it, I become a leper. Such is life in the workplace. When you're an outcast. And when you're trying to find other work, too. And, you know, I'm trying to find... And I'll be honest, I am the king of freaking excuses. Okay? I am the king of freaking excuses. I can go out there and make excuses for anything. And I'm trying to find work, but to be honest, I'm not trying anywhere near as hard as I should be. I'm trying to find other work, I should say. I like, once I get settled in something, I like to stay that way. And I don't want to keep having to switch over, but situations, as always, force me to do otherwise. It's going to be one of those days. I can sense it right away. I'm just not... You know, I had a lot of energy Monday and Tuesday, and today I'm just kind of like, ugh. Let me say hi to all my friends in the Head On Radio chat room there. If you go to headonradionetwork.com and scroll down and go to the right and click on the chat room link, you will get there and you'll be able to talk to some of the smartest people on the internet, as I say day in and day out again. And you can even talk to some of our fellow hosts there. Bob Kincaid is hanging out there. John Fox is hanging out there. And, of course, our good friends Sue and Ray Hinckley, we're all hanging out, having a good old time together. And you're welcome to join us. Just go to headonradionetwork.com and scroll down and look to the right, and you'll see the chat room link, and you pick yourself a username and get right on there. I was reading Atreus last night. And this is something that kind of interested me because, you know... People who have been doing blogs suddenly realize after a while that they can make money off of it, and people who realize that you can make money doing punditry. And Atreus pointed out this article from the Wall Street Journal talking about minor league pundits, political consultants, professors, activists, actors, journalists, bloggers, and opinionated civilians using 20th century stunts to troll for airtime. This is what in the blogosphere we call blog whoring, except that they're doing it to get on TV. And they use all these little tricks to try to get online. And some people earn serious money. Whether they're not serious money, 37-year-old, who's the person? Debbie Schlussel, I don't know how to pronounce that. I apologize for mispronouncing it. She earned just under $10,000 last year from that. And how the hell do you do that? How do I get in on this? How do I get on in this? And how much money does she make anyway, you know? Rich getting richer. Listen, let me try to get my head together here. If you want to give me a call and help me out, I'm having one of those days. You can call in at 1-304-658-5453. That's 1-304-658-5453. Or if you want to call the toll number, and we prefer to use the 304 number, but if you want to call the toll number, it's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. 1-877-443-2366. We'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
Wednesday night prayer meeting on Head On with Bob Kincaid opens up a whole new realm of spirituality. Touch others. Reach out and touch faith. Join Brother Bob every Wednesday night for prayer meeting services here in the Tabernacle of Common Sense. Only on the Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
If you or someone close to you has a hearing loss, here is some great news. Thousands of Open Caption videos are yours to borrow, and it's all free. Open Caption videos make it possible for the hearing impaired to understand television. The Caption Media Program offers classic Hollywood movies, special interest, and educational videos. Visit us online at cfv.org or call 1-800-237-6213. You can register to be a user and make your selections from our online or printed catalog. It's just that easy, and we'll even pay for the postage. Open Caption videos are perfect for the classroom, your home, or even the workplace. The nonprofit Caption Media Program is funded by the U.S. Department of Education and administered by the National Association of the Deaf. Tell a family member or a friend about the Caption Media Program today. Bookmark cfv.org for free loan Open Caption videos or call 1-800-237-6213.
This is the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man's thinking land, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Let's go right to the phones, and I haven't heard from our good friend Sarge in a long time, and I was a little worried about you there. Sarge, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm just really flying high. Should be in Phoenix by May 6th. I'm planning on being at the dinner that the station KPHX and Novem Radio are holding a silent auction on that day, and it's going to be a dinner and stuff. And it's going to be a really nice affair, and the money pro Jim Yancey will be there to speak. Judy Coleman also is going to attend, and it looks like I'm going to be there.
I'm glad to hear that, because, you know, I hadn't heard from you in such a long time. I was a little worried about you, and I heard
I'm on my way to Phoenix, man.
Well, that's great. That's great. So tell me more about this, and the proceeds are going to go to help out, I assume, the Katrina victims.
That's right. All of it's going to Jackson County Community Services Coalition, and hopefully we'll be able to help put people back in their homes.
Do you have any better news for us along those lines?
Well, the 100 homes in 100 days is going pretty good. Of course, the funding issues are still a major problem. there's FEMA's still just really, really hard to get anything out of. They don't want to talk. The funds didn't seem to be coming from FEMA. And I just got alerted to a situation where at Dillard University, Dillard Community College in New Orleans, after the storm, FEMA, the college, local officials, everybody was encouraging the students to get these FEMA this FEMA money. Well, now FEMA has turned around and decided it was time to do a needs assessment. And they've come back, and these students are being charged like $2,000, $2,300 for Katrina money, that relief money that they got and they felt like deserved. And so it's really been just an ordeal. And so it's,
see, what they have to do is this, Sarge. What they have to do is this: pretend they're a defense contractor, and you know, have everybody apply along those lines, and pretend like they're a good Republican and a friend of Bush, and you'll get billions of dollars.
I kind of think that's the one of the problems. Too many of those are actually getting the money, and people like Jim Yancey, who are actually doing something, they're not getting the grant money, and the governor is just not talking. One of my people at Unreported News did contact the governor's office yesterday and just couldn't get anything from him, not even a statement. The best statement you could get was, go to the website.
Right.
And that's about all you could get out of them. And I don't see the money coming yet.
Well, that's just typical, you know. The give plenty of money to the rich, but none to the poor, you know. And that's the shame of the way this country is.
It really
right
is.
Now.
And I had and I got it posted right at the top where it has information and comments by me. There's you can click on there, and I've got some emails posted there. And you talk about some this one woman, I think Guy James has mentioned her a lot. Shelley, the Republican, the repulsive, she's sent me several emails, and she's just a racist and a real pig. Just talking about how the black people should be eliminated because they really don't serve that much of a function in society. And so, you know, leave Haley Barbour alone. He's a fine man. He's doing the right thing, getting rid of these black people.
Right, exactly. Didn't have I remember some years back when was Jesse Helms was on Larry King, and somebody called in and said, "I want to congratulate you on all the things that you've done to help keep the brothers down."
It's just sick. It really is. These people are just totally 100% sick. I don't know if I should tell you, mention it here, but I did get some overwhelming news last night concerning Novium Radio. I've already said
it's up to you, Sarge.
I have a new radio show starting Sunday at 9 a.m. It'll be aired every Sunday on Novium Radio Network.
That is awesome. I'm so glad to hear that.
It's a really big honor, and I'm tickled to death about it. And I'm tickled mostly because it is a voice that will get the word out on what's going on with these people. And I'm going to try and have the actual people who are suffering through this thing to come in and tell their story. Jim Yancey's going to be on to start out with, and he'll be a frequent guest.
So is this 9 a.m. Central Time or 9 a.m. Eastern?
9 a.m. Central.
Okay, that would be 10 o'clock Eastern and 7 o'clock on the West Coast. Okay.
Right, 7 o'clock in Phoenix. Cause, you know, they
time zones confuse me, Sarge.
Especially now with the daylight savings time, and Arizona doesn't go on it. So.
Yeah, some places don't do that. So, you know, I figure if they're going to do it, they should do it all over, you know, or let's just stop doing it altogether. I really think they ought to just stop doing it because I think its purpose has been served.
Well, I did get an interesting email from Betsy. She sent me yesterday, and it's just a very disturbing email. I'm going to try and get it up today sometime, but there is actually a really severe scandal going on in Pascagoula, which is in Jackson County, and it's really sick. There's actually people have been held hostage. They're Indians. A lot of them were tricked into coming over here, and they spent their life savings to get here. And the deputy sheriff is involved in the scam. They rip these people off, and they're holding them hostage. Really, is what it boils down to. But I'm gonna post more about that today. And I appreciate Betsy sending that to me, because that's something that I really want to check into.
And that's, of course, on unreportednews.net, of whom I'm proud to be to have as one of my sponsors there. Well, Sarge, let me let you go. I know you got stuff you got to do.
Okay, and we're proud to sponsor you, man. You do a good job.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Our good friend Sarge out there on the coast. Bob, let's go ahead and take a little early break here. We'll close on a little early, and then we'll come back. We've got more people online, and I want to get to the break so I can give them a chance to talk. So let's go ahead and do the bottom of the hour break, and we'll be back with more on the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. More than 400,000 grocery workers represented by the United Food and Commercial Workers are bargaining for new contracts this year. The UFCW's Amber Sparks says big supermarket chains are not treating workers with respect as they negotiate the new contracts.
They are not providing affordable health care, not providing, a living wage for workers.
Talks resumed this week between UFCW and three grocery chains in Southern California. Sparks says the union is using a national strategy in an effort to have grocery workers rise up together.
The strategy has been, for the first time really, that workers are bargaining nationally. And what that means is that they are all realizing that they have this power when they all speak together that is stronger than the company's power, even these national companies.
Uncertainty and low morale is plaguing workers at Coca-Cola, according to the union representing more than 18,000 workers with the company. Jesse Russell reports.
Worker uncertainty is leading to escalating labor unrest and, according to the Teamsters, could eventually result in work stoppage at Coca-Cola. During a conference call with industry analysts, the union said management needs to address basic concerns over job security and health care. David Lawton, secretary treasurer of the Teamsters, said Coca-Cola's approach to labor relations has deteriorated, leaving workers with uncertainty and low morale. Coca-Cola announced a restructuring plan earlier this year, which will see the slashing of 3,500 jobs. Lawton called the plan ill-conceived and short-sighted. The company also announced a loss of $1.7 billion in 2006. Even with that loss and the threat of layoffs, Coca-Cola executives received performance awards at the end of the year, including a $1 million bonus for CEO John Brock. Currently, the Teamsters are in contract negotiations for thousands of Coca-Cola employees, with thousands more coming up for negotiation by the end of the year.
Income inequality in the U.S. is at near record levels. Dan Pedrotti, director of the AFL-CIO's Office of Investment, says it's bad for society and undermines the middle class.
It's driven by, I think, in large part, an administration that has taken up one side in the class war and pursued it unabated. And it's the reason we see the CEO-to-worker pay ratio go from 40-1 at the beginning of the 1980s to 411-1 now.
Here is today's economic report. The Bay Area has some of the highest housing costs in the country, and those prices could be about to have a major impact on the region's economy. According to the Mercury News, the number of Bay Area homeowners who failed to pay mortgages on time doubled in the first quarter compared to the same time last year. 6,730 homeowners received notices of default in the first quarter. But according to the article, the region may not yet be in trouble. That would depend on how many more borrowers who qualified through subprime loans default.
Doug Cunningham, Workers Independent News.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe radio show. He's been holding for a little while, so let's get right to him. We've got our good friend Steady on the line. Hi, Steady. How are you today?
Good, good, Joe. Good morning, and good morning to all the listeners out there. Good to hear your voice out, Joe, and as well as hearing from Sarge. Glad to hear you, too.
Well, thank you, thank you. And I was glad to hear from Sarge because I hadn't heard from him in 2 weeks, and I was getting a little antsy.
Yeah, I'm not aware of all the details, but last word I had, he was given notice to move out, and having been thrown out of my own house in the midst of a campaign and not certain which way to turn, lots of things come into play that otherwise would not. So I'm glad to hear that he has a phone line and he's able to call in, and shouts out to Nova Amp for picking up his show and starting out again something new. We need more of it.
I hear you. I'm not in a very different situation myself. I have to leave the place that I'm at for different reasons I can't get into, because it's not right to talk about that on the radio as far as why. But I do have to move, and I don't have the money to move, so.
Well, I've been on the move since February 24th. We left Oregon and actually went out and visited Sarge and then made our way down to Pascagoula, which he mentioned. I just like to segue and say the whole trip got me from Pascagoula out to the Lower Ninth Ward in Louisiana, then back to Mississippi and Pascagoula. Then I went to Gulfport and worked with the Turkey Creek Community Initiative, which actually is a historic black community since 1866, made up of emancipated slaves at the time. And, I said I would, before I left, I said I would be willing to shovel slop, if you will. And I actually got an opportunity to clean out some community bathrooms and prepare a place for a community fundraising fish fry, which went off with a big bang, although we spent a lot of time there doing that, and I didn't actually get any catfish. I was just content going home and reading my book. I'm working through the Oregon Trail, and I got to tell you, it's really a moving, emotional saga. It's called An American Saga, subtitle, and there are many things from that book that are very pertinent to securing our liberties and freedoms today. Although we have the convenience of electricity and propane and cars and, the huge petroleum industry, these people traversed the nation or the continent without any of that, and no roads, and bore the burden of famine and freezing cold, and you name it, no water. It's like just seeing somebody on the road was is like, oh, your morale was picked up, and this is how David Daria portrays the road. I'm in about, let's say, 1845 right now, and page 172 or something, and it's an outstanding book. I thought it was a very old book, but it's actually copyright first edition, 2004.
Now, it sounds to me very much like Grapes of Wrath, except set in the South instead of set out West.
The wild, wild west here in our own country, where we did battle with the Canadians in the Columbia River, and having moved to Oregon myself, working with Patty on up there, we've been talking about a reverse Oregon Trail and descending upon Washington with arrest warrants for the neglect and absolute criminal negligence that I've seen underway, or not underway, actually, in the Gulf States everywhere I went.
I read this today on Daily Kos, on Doonesbury they've been featuring it. There are several communities in Vermont that have put up impeachment proceedings against Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney. And the people who are apparently fighting it, among them, are the Democratic leadership up there. Can you believe that stuff?
Well, Rowdy actually got a pretty heavily... what would you say, sir? People hit her story. It only takes one state for articles of impeachment. If one state can bring it up, you can actually bring it up, but she could give you all the details on that. But if you search Arbor Tender on the Daily Kos site, she actually got some notoriety on Daily Kos for her. It only takes one state for impeachment.
Right, right. And Congressman Kucinich is also planning on... filing impeachment procedures against the president. So good for him. Let's see what happens. He delayed it for a little bit because of the whole Virginia Tech thing. But that's
yeah.
good. I like Dennis Kucinich. I like him a lot. I don't think he's presidential timber, and I wouldn't vote for him for president. But I do like him, and we need more people like him. And I was so sad when we lost Wellstone too. Those are people we need more of in Congress.
Well, I actually love to see something of a Bull Moose ticket with Kucinich on it, and maybe Ron Paul. Something of some bipartisanship and some, because Kucinich is not so tall, they say he's not electable, but the guy's a bulldog in many regards. I think when you had the power crisis going on and you had the northeast area of our country blacked out, that was 2004, I think, August 2004. There was an opportunity for him to really go after Cheney at that time, and he didn't. He protected First Energy and deregulation, and I've always had to raise an eyebrow anytime Kucinich comes out, boxing. Because of that very event, he could have really dug into the deregulation frenzy that was going on at that time, and he just kind of let it slide. 2001, Cheney and Bush just said, hey, big FU to California. When we were having blackouts, it was not good. I was in the state assembly in May and confronted Tony Strickland, who was my assemblyman, and his answer to the thing was, we haven't deregulated enough yet. We need to completely deregulate.
Exactly, now. Yeah. We need to steal all of your money before we're ready. We're ready.
Right, which goes right into the FEMA stuff that's going on down there. I was actually closed out my mission officially last night at the city council meeting in Pascagoula. And I'm not going to go into too many of the details of that because I have footage to back my case up. And once I get that available and to put that on the net, then we'll be willing to take all kinds of questions. I love questions, Joe. But having the things that went down yesterday in a short 8-hour period, I'll just give you briefly. I was at one of the homeowners who I've been in contact with since I left there and went to New Orleans and came back. And right across from her street on Monday were, 20, 30, 40, 50 people, volunteers working in and around the home, gutting the home, moving stuff out of the home. On Tuesday when I had come back, the house had collapsed. It had completely collapsed and onto the dumpster. I've got pictures of it. It's a complete hack. I don't know how it happened, why it happened, but the pictures will tell you. I mean, the thing had a brand new roof. The exterior was painted. It looked absolutely beautiful, except for the inside. You know, probably had a mold problem, maybe some rotted floor joists. So I catch the contractor as well as the electrical contractor walking out of the building. So I roll my camera. And long story short, the guy threatens me with arrest. And he says it on tape. I've got it on tape. This is the guy who relieved me of my volunteer duties, Chris Fawcett. And I'm not going to go into any more details, but having met Jim Yancey after the threat of arrest on a 100 Homes project, as well as Debbie and Jeremy, I went ahead and challenged them to exercise Mr. Fawcett's threat. And if it wasn't timely enough for them to come onto the property that I was on DuPont Street, that I would be at city council meeting, and he could try that then. And I actually didn't see him, but I did get to meet the chief of police and got a big round of applause as I thanked the city of Pascagoula for the opportunity, letting them know that I was still concerned about a few things were going on, and went out with a bang and split Mississippi last night.
Where is this? What website will this be available on when it's available? Will it be on Reported News or will it be somewhere else?
Well, I actually started off of your lead there at Blogspot, the Ventura County for Democracy site where I was during my Katrina activities, as well as the entire record of my congressional campaign, has been removed in the last 3 or 4 days. I think Mr. Dickerson, I'm not going to go into that. I did write it where you can catch it, what I'm commentating on at www.steadyforcongress, STETTY, number 4, congress.blogspot.com. That's going to be my journal.
Okay, and I'll try to make a mention of it on my blog, too. You know, I do so little writing on my blog these days. It's like, but I'm getting more hits, which is really, really weird. Don't ask me.
Well,
Maybe if I stopped blogging altogether, I'd get more hits.
I actually read your blog there about the creativity of the human spirit and being able to bring things up out of nothing or something. And I commented there with my own creative poem that came up straight, just sprung forth from my spirit when I saw the images of Abu Ghraib. I was absolutely disgusted, and I started writing. I just started writing.
Yeah, and that was in reference to Kurt Vonnegut. For those of you who don't know, what I said was that I think creative people like that are closest to the creator, whatever form God takes. Because what better way to understand the creator than to participate in an act of creation, right?
So. I agree, and I think the greatest creative opportunity at this time is for us to recognize that very element of cognition and ability and dynamics to protect our people, present policies and oversight that our people are going to be taken care of, and that is we the people, the government of the United States, greatest creative opportunity, Joe, and I truly appreciate your show and the time that you've given me this morning.
Well, I appreciate that, too. And I got to let you go. We're going to take a little early break again, Bob, if that's okay. I hope I don't catch you to surprise. Let's go ahead, and I'll let you go, Steady. You have a good day, and you keep on pushing. You keep on working, and good luck when you run again for the Congress. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network. Advertising on the Cup of Joe Radio Show is both easy and inexpensive. Ads that cost as little as $5 a piece are a bargain when you consider that the Cup of Joe Show has an audience in the thousands for a live show, and that's not even counting the thousands more that listen on iTunes or at the archives on the White Rose Society. And all you have to do is email me at joe@cupjoe.com, that's CUPJOE.com, to find out how you can advertise your blog, organization, or product. What are you waiting for? Email me now at joe@cupjoe.com, CUPJOE.com, and let internet radio ads work for you.
The following is a Head On Radio Network special announcement. Ha ha, I'm back! That's right, the rampaging, ranting, tree-hugging, planet-saving, head-banging hippie is back at a brand new time.
Foxed Up returns weekdays 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, and late night 1 a.m. in Sydney. So set your streamer to a new Foxed Up time here on The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fix stuff.
Did some art projects with the kids.
Clean up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed.
And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I could do everything now.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here for the last segment of the Cup of Joe radio show. Man, time sure flies, and I'm glad. I'm gonna thank Sergeant Steady for calling in there. That always helps me out. Have somebody to talk to, so I don't feel like I'm just talking into the ether. Although I know I've got a lot of lovely, wonderful fans out there who are listening. And then once again, let me encourage people, in order for us to help get a little, what's the word, investment for the Head On Radio Network, to show people that you're listening, just please send me an email to joe@cupjoe.com, and all you have to say is in the subject matter. Just say, I'm listening. You don't have to write anything. Just say, I'm listening. So this way we have a list of people we can say, listen, this is the guy, you know, these are people who are listening to the show. And we know that for every person who writes, there are, you know, 10 or 20 people who don't write. And that's understandable. But if you haven't written before, go ahead and write. It doesn't cost you anything. And all it takes is a second just to send an email to joe@cupjoe.com. And that way I can pass this list along to people, say, look, these are the people who are listening to my show. I have a listenership, because we don't do Nielsen ratings here. Or whatever. Anyway, I wanted to talk about this a little bit more because it was something Avedon Carroll pointed out. And Avedon Carroll does The Sideshow, which is one of the best blogs on the internet. It's sideshow.me.uk. Avedon Carroll runs the site, and she is an American who lives in Great Britain. And she's one of what I call the information warehouse site. She has a lot of links and she has a lot of stories. And of course, the big story in the last day or so has been the shooting over at West Virginia. And she brings up a good point that was on another blog talking about, you know, a lot of people have been talking about gun control in the wake of, you know, the Virginia Tech massacre. And of course, the right wingers are saying we need more guns. What a bunch of idiots. At any rate, this is what Avedon Carroll had to say after someone on a left wing site said something that we shouldn't be making legislation based upon the spur of the moment. Blah 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 blah. We have to be careful. Blah blah blah. Blah, the usual concern troll stuff, as I call it, as other people call it too. But Avedon Carroll had a very good point. She said it's not about the guns. She said there are more guns per person in Canada, but they don't seem to have as much gun violence as we do in America, for that matter. We didn't have this kind of gun violence once upon a time, even though we had fewer restrictions on guns. I think our media and politicians promote fear, and our social culture is becoming more and more isolated and hostile. We no longer believe in things like forgiveness, understanding, redemption, rehabilitation, etc. We've become a culture that encourages us to be fearful, unforgiving, and violently vengeful. It's not just our rate of gun-related deaths that reflects this, it's the law itself. And I think she's absolutely right on this. We live in a culture of fear. You see it in the workplace every single day, where supervisors and executive bosses will use intimidation to get their way, to get more work out of you. You see it in popular culture about how you are practically encouraged to go out and take extreme measures against somebody. You see it in ways like that kid who saw 300 six times in 2 days. And it wasn't that good a movie, by the way, because someone showed it to me, and was all ready to go out and kill somebody. He didn't, you know, there wasn't any thought of a higher cause or higher law or anything like that. You know, even if he had said, well, I really think that we need to win this war on terror, blah, 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 and, you know, we need to get those Arabs before they get us, blah, blah, blah. Well, I'd have something different to say to him about, you know, how stupid that is. But this kid just wanted to go out and kill somebody. And I think we kind of promote that. And we look at the way the news is, and even when they're giving news about someone, they kind of sneer about it. Like the whole, you know, they do the whole Anna Nicole Smith thing, and they try to make it so serious, but behind it is like, yeah, like, whatever, you know? Bob Kincaid is asking, if giving up our guns would guarantee that a Virginia Tech never happened, would you? Well, I can only speak for myself, Bob. I've never owned a firearm in my life. I used them when I was in the Army, Army basic training. I fired my M16, and I was pretty good at it. I also threw a couple of live grenades and used one of those disposable rocket launchers. Personally, what I can say is this. I wish we lived in a society where we didn't need the guns. And I really think that if we work harder to build a society where we didn't, you know, the violence wasn't so prevalent, and if we didn't have people who seemed to think that the only way to live your life is to sit on your front porch with a shotgun instead of trying to build a society where you don't have to worry about that because you know your neighbors are not going to do anything to you. But that's harder work to do that. See, and that's the problem. They don't want to do the work it takes to build that sort of society. And you have Ann Coulter joking the other day. Well, it was the same speech that she used the FAG word against John Edwards. Or was it the same speech? Doesn't really matter with her. But she was saying that, you know, oh, we've had 4 million abortions and 7 guys shot from the other side. I'd say that's a pretty good indication that, you know, the abortionists are winning. That's unbelievable. And that sort of thing is prevalent in our society today. And certainly it's prevalent in Republican culture because, you know, look, you know, we're going to go after Iraq now. Somebody blew up the building, so we got to go after Iraq. Kill the brown people. Take their oil. Take their money. And that, you know, and I've said this before about the Republican Party. That's basically their modus operandi: kill someone and take their money, or steal from them. Because that's, you know, that's really all they're good at. They're very good at grabbing power. They're very good at separating people from their money. They're very, very good at intimidating people and doing that sort of thing. But what they don't know how to do is what to do with the power once they've got it. They're very good at getting it, but the only thing they know how to do with it once they've got it is to try to get more of it. They have no vision, and when there is no vision, the people perish. And that's the problem we face today. And we do definitely have a cultural problem here in the United States. And it wasn't always like that. A lot of the gun arguments and stuff like that that are coming out now came about because of advertisements run by the Colt manufacturing company to sell weapons during the time after the Civil War, the whole Wild Wild West thing. A lot of that stuff, you know, was perpetrated back then or overemphasized simply so that they can sell guns. One of my favorite characters, and you're going to think this is a really weird segue into this, but it's not really a segue. It does have to do with the same thing. One of my favorite characters in Lord of the Rings is Faramir, Prince of Ithilien. And one of the things he said to Frodo, when you know they were talking, he was saying that war must be when there's an enemy, you know, that's trying hard to kill us. And I'm paraphrasing; I don't know the exact quote right offhand. He said, "But I don't love the arrow for its swiftness, nor the sword for its sharpness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend." That is how I feel about it. I don't love guns. I don't love bombs. I don't love warfare in general. The only thing I love is what warfare defends. And the true soldiers, the best soldiers in the world, the best fighters in the world understand this. That they fight reluctantly. They fight because they have to. And the Bush administration and the Republican leadership and their corporate allies, whether you're talking in the so-called corporate professional media, or whether you're talking about guys like Richard Mellon Scaife, they want to push that fear, and they want to take advantage of that loyalty. Like I tell you every single day, imagine, if you will, that they're just taking your sons and daughters, and, you know, convincing them to come over to them and then putting a gun to their head and blowing their brains out, because that's exactly what they're doing to our soldiers in Iraq. And we have to try to stop them. I don't like doing it. I would much rather deal with other issues, as most people would, but we don't have any choice anymore. We don't have any choice anymore. And I really, you know, and I've gotten to the point where sometimes I get so angry, I just think, let me just get a baseball bat and start cracking some skulls. Like, you know, you get that way because it's so frustrating to watch it day in and day out, and feel powerless to do anything about it. And watching people who make in the high seven figures a year go on television and just say things that, you know, are either untrue or are just warped or are a product of the fact that they make so much money they're completely out of touch with any kind of reality that the rest of us face back here. And I've said this before too. That's all the show is, by the way. It's just me repeating the same talking points over and over again. But back 30 or 40 years ago, most of the people got their news from newspapers. Newspapers had stories that were written by people who made pretty much the same kind of money that everybody else was making. Now, you get the news from television mostly. And most of the people on television, even your local anchor people, make a lot more money than your average person, than the person watching the news. And that's a big difference. And that's what we're trying to combat here on the Head On Radio Network, because we do this for nothing. We're not necessarily proud of that. But we do this because we're compelled to do this. And I'm compelled to bring the show to an end, because we're just about the end of another day. I got good days and bad days, and I didn't start off too well, but I'm glad we had the callers today. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been a production of the Head On Radio Network, the great Bob Kincaid running the board today. The Cup of Joe Radio Show is sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news. Fox Stuff with John Fox is next on your Head On Radio's network stations. Until tomorrow, this is Joe Vecchio saying, hey, hey, get back to work.
I want a cup of Joe. I crave a plate of Dave. Open a jar of Joan. Don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug with the creamer of steam. How many more does that leave? A pot of Scotch, heat up a pan of Stan, throw in a handful of Dick, that'll do every trick. Serve a carafe of mash upon a tray of Ray, I'll lick a spoon of Shawn. Do I need to go on? I want a cup of Joe.
a dish of crisps out of a bowl of Joel on a saucer of tin? Or would you rather have him just fill me up with bread, feed me a fork of Frank, and one more helping of Dick? Lay it on nice and thick, open a can of Dan, and make a meal of Sam. But don't give me no mutt, 'cause what I really want's a cup of Joe.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. It's been another bloody day in Iraq. More than 127 people have been killed, 82 of them in a series of car bombs in Baghdad. More than 100 Iraqis nationwide have been wounded. Classes have been canceled this week at Virginia Tech, the scene of Monday's campus massacre. Investigators continue to look for a motive behind the murders. Both President Bush and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid are warning Americans not to use the Virginia Tech massacre as an excuse for stricter gun control measures. Criticism in the U.S. and overseas about easy access to guns is building. Virginia has some of the least restrictive gun control laws in the nation. In Nagasaki, the city's 61-year-old mayor died early this morning after being gunned down in front of his campaign offices yesterday. Police have arrested the shooter, thought to be connected to Japan's largest crime syndicate. Gun crime is rare in Japan. Handguns are illegal. Iraq's government will give Syria and Jordan $25 million to help ameliorate the costs of caring for the 2 million Iraqi refugees in their countries. In addition, the U.S. has agreed to accept 20,000 Iraqi refugees. Typically, the U.S. has permitted fewer than 500 Iraqis to immigrate to America annually. In Kiev, the Ukraine's High Court deliberates today on the constitutionality of President Viktor Yushchenko's plan to dissolve parliament and hold early elections. Protesters are jamming the streets. Nigeria's opposition parties are calling for the postponement of Saturday's presidential election and vow their supporters will boycott it. International monitors say last weekend's state elections were rife with corruption and mismanagement. Near Cairo this morning, a truck transporting school children to class was hit head-on by another vehicle. At least 16 students were killed, 8 others injured, some critically. In China, 32 steel workers were killed this morning when a bucket of